Hi everyone, I'm Pira Nada, Rappler's Malacanang reporter and host of the podcast you're listening to now, Seat of Power. Rodrigo Duterte's last year as president began its countdown last June 30. Throughout his term, I've kept in touch with many of his avid supporters, some government workers, others just ordinary Filipinos. I think it's important to always have a sense of what the president's believers believe. What keeps them rooting for Duterte, despite controversy after controversy? I've spoken with a Duterte supporter who fell out of love with Duterte in 2018, after hearing the president call God stupid. I've met an overseas Filipino worker who maintains a pro-Duterte blog all the way from California. I make it a point to look for real people, meaning not anyone paid to spew propaganda. One of the more interesting conversations I had recently was with Kenneth Lucy, a 47-year-old restaurant owner from Guihulngan, Negros Oriental. I asked for his assessment of Duterte now that he is almost done with his presidency. I found his answers honest, believable on many levels, and eye-opening. They provide some valuable insights into why so many Filipinos still support Duterte, a riddle that many political observers and critics of the president are still stumped on. I am sharing my conversation with Kenneth in this episode. We spoke on June 22. You'll hear him speak about the Guihulngan ambush. Guihulngan, where Kenneth is from, is a city in Negros Oriental that has seen a lot of killings of leftists, New People's Army rebels, soldiers, and police. This is a key factor in Kenneth's support for Duterte. Kenneth also tells me about who he'll vote for president in 2022. You'll hear my baby daughter once in a while in this conversation. She was with me when I called Kenneth. She too seemed interested in what Kenneth had to say. So I just want to get your thoughts, why you still support him 5 years into his presidency.
Yes, good question. Ito kasi, na-mention ko na yung mga trials and tribulations namin sa Negros. And then, kay Duterte kasi, not directly from him ha, but kasi kami Negros. Oriental especially. You cannot call Negros Duterte country.
Mm-mm.
Because of the political arrangements dyan. I think that National Vice President Liberal Party is a congresswoman in Negros. Mm. And then, you know, our governor, I don't think he is a full-fledged Duterte supporter.
Mm.
No, pero, despite all that,
mm.
and all the challenges, at least personally, ha,
mm-mm.
pag may tinawag ako na problema, like the Guihulngan ambush, mafe-feel mo talaga nagre-respond sila.
Mm.
So I think that is the Duterte appeal sa probinsya. Mafe-feel mo eh, like it's rare to have, you know, the seat of power sa Malacanang, napapansinin yung small town mo or yung sa probinsya na they will give that amount of resources. I think ganyan ka, ano, ang kaya, like, no, maraming the nagtataka ang iba, bakit, no, sa daming trials, ganun, bakit popular pa rin si Presidente?
Mm.
Kasi he responds, and then parang ma-personalize ang, ano, ang approach niya, ang dating niya sa mga tao sa probinsya.
Mm.
Ganun ang, ano, I don't know if you appreciate that in the capital, pero ganyan ang dating niya sa amin.
Ano yung mga concrete examples that you said you felt the Duterte administration's
action? I don't know how you feel about Sauron. You know, with all the critics about Sauron. Pero that's one example talaga. Na as hindi namin akalain na the national government, si General Cernas dati na marami din siyang critics. Pero yan ang legacy niya, iniiwan niya sa Guihulngan. He set up the community precincts on the very height of the insurgency. So, ilan bang community precincts ang iniwan niya doon after Sauron?
Ano yung Sauron? Sorry, what is Sauron?
Yung Operation Sauron niya, ng ano, mga 2 to 3 years ago. After the Gihulungan ambush kasi,
oh.
Panay ang patayan ng ano, nag-Senate hearing pa nga yun. If you remember, the officials from Negros pinatawag sa Senado.
Yeah, yeah.
You can look it up, yung ano, operation sa Oron. Dito nag-umpisa yan sa Gihulungan, sa Negros Oriental. Depict several hotspots that depour all the resources from the entire region. PNP, it's a joint operation, PNP. And military operation just to respond sa continuous threats sa Negros Oriental. And, you know, that kind of action na pag tumawag ka, sir, ang laki ng problema namin dito, paano na to? Like, you know, nagre-responde talaga sila.
Kayo ba yung tumawag mismo? You called someone during that time?
It generated from ano, an 888 campaign sa hotline to Malacanang.
You were the one who called?
It was someone else. It was after a barangay captain was assassinated. So, just that kind of example. And even now, pag may mga problema, like, nandoon sila palagi. Yun lang. And then, it's a big thing kasi sa probinsya. Alam ko, sabit mo sa Malacanang, you're so used to seeing all the big wigs, the cabinet secretaries, you know, the president, and all that. And then, while in the provinces, it's rare. In a single term, siguro, you're lucky if meron kang one presidential visit. Pero kay Presidente iba eh. Si Bongo iba eh. Iba yung mga ano nila eh. They're always there.
So, how did that personally benefit you? Yung Operation Sauron, the fact that cabinet members were going there?
Ang laki. As I mentioned sa inyo, yung problema na namin dati, especially sa operation ko sa mga negosyo ko, and it was so frustrating because you invested all this money na, you know, you have high hopes for your city and then your district and your province. Ganon, kasi I bring home sa ano, yung concept sa America na 24 hours, aircon ng stores, ganyan na. To improve sana the services, at least on the retail side sa, ano, sa probinsya.
Mm-mm.
And then yun nga, panay ang patayan, panay kang tatawagan ng sa kabila na ang daming maghihingi sa'yo. And then yun, pag may patayan, wala na yung 24 hours mo kasi parang no man's land na after... alas 7 pa lang ng gabi. We needed like a strong hand to really clean up the place and then at least give us a sense of security. That's one of the very basic talaga. Ma-establish mo lang yung peace and order sa, ano, sa probinsya mo and then everything follows sa negosyo. Yun ang impact. Kaya ang ano ko talaga dati is like wish na yung Gihulungan ambush, nag-military vacuum kami dun, wala talagang tropa sa Negros Oriental at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then yun ang takot namin na susunugin yung bahay namin. Ganun. It's that kind of environment pa.
When you said na naghihingi yung kabila, are you talking about NPA?
Yes. Ano na pang tawag nila ngayon? CNP na ba sila? Or, yeah, basically NPA. Oh. Yun ang ano nila, yung tatawagan ka. Kaya ngayon, all my businesses naka-hotline yung mga numbers sa personal number ko natatawag. Yun lang, every now and then. Like, you know, mga 2 weeks ago, I got the same call na naghihingi, pleading for money na, uy, ano, ganun, kasi mahirap na daw sa... Kaya kinausap ko naman, like, kung mahirap kayo sa itaas, like, bumaba na tayo. May programa naman ang gobyerno. You know, like, especially now with the LCAC and all that. I'm not saying, you know, that with all the, ano, sa LCAC, meron din akong criticism sa LCAC, pero yun ang inano ko sa kanila na bakit kami ang tatakutin nyo lagi? Naghihirap din naman kami. Like, I'm subsidizing the business, especially na kasi liliit ng mga kita.
Mm-hmm.
Tapos hihingihan nyo pa kami. Hindi naman maliit. Mag-umpisa ka ng 50,000, 100,000. Sa ko, hanapin yan.
Talaga? Humingi sila ng ganong kalaki?
Oo, ganun ang ano.
Ano yun, parang tax?
Because desperate din sa bundok na, yung ko lang ano ang current setup nila ngayon. Kasi if you have to continue, it's a 50-year-old insurgency, so someone has got to fund it.
Ano yun, they call you by text? Or paano yun, they go to your stores?
Yun ang ano nila, first magte-text yan, tapos tatawagan ka. And then, yun ang sinasabi nila na may nakamanman sa store mo, susunugin, ganun.
Talaga?
Oo. And then I heard of ano, several businessmen na nagbibigay talaga sila. At saka yung sunugan kasi dati, yung mga construction equipments, yun sinusunog talaga yan. Because there was this big vacuum na yun nga, walang, yung tinatawag namin tropa, walang mga ano. Kasi lahat yun na divert sa yung operation sa Marawi dati.
Kaya
yun, nag-flare up yung insurgency sa... until now, you can probably look up sa mga national reports, yung casualty counts, body counts ng ano, yung Panay Encuentro, ganun.
Did you feel any difference in terms of gano'ng kadalas sila naghihingi ng extortion ngayon?
Ngayon, siguro nag-ano na rin sila. Kasi yung pag nare-report ko yun sa R2, yung R2 yung, ano, yung intelligence wing ng regional command ng, ano, ng PNP, tinitrace talaga sila.
Okay.
At inaano, siguro na lately, hindi na masyado eh. Kasi ako, proactive ako. Hindi lang ako talaga naghihintay na, yung baliwala ako. Ganun, lumalapit talaga ako sa sino mang malapitan ko. Kasi if I don't do something, hindi talaga sila titigil eh. And then I don't want to make it to ano, a certain point na kampante na silang lumalapit, tatakutin ka lagi na... And then, you know, my fear is baka, yun nga, lo-locate ka na nila. And, you know, the worst case scenario. Kaya ako talaga, kahit na staff ko ang inaano, pinapablatter ko talaga yan. And then at one point nga, yung staff ko, pumunta pa talaga yung buong command ng ano, Region 7 dati under General Sinas. And di ba, he's like, kung sino ba lang kami na pupuntahan talaga na ganun, nagre-responde talaga pag may problema.
How often did you get those extortion calls before versus now?
Before, siguro nasa ano tayo, halos every week yan.
Wow.
At ngayon, lately, bihira na lang yan. May nakakalusot pa rin sa, ano, sa ibang mga tindahan natin. Pero yun nga, hindi ko naman sila na, ano, kinakausap ko sila ng maayos eh.
Mm-mm.
Siguro at their side na rin na ano nila, hindi mahirap talaga to, hindi talaga to bibigay. Kasi Panay ang ano talaga niya, naririnig ko, pabalik-balik yan sila eh, pag nagbibigay ka talaga.
Okay, yung next question ko, segue naman ako sa pandemic response. Kasi maraming criticisms, yun yung mainit ngayon, di ba? Yung everyone saying, or a lot of critics are saying na our economy was really hit bad even if we had the harshest lockdown. So, ano namang assessment mo dun sa pandemic response ni Presidente?
Sa pandemic response ng Presidente, ang ano ko lang sa kanya is, yun nga, he has the command and control. I cannot just imagine na ang ibang Presidente na with the autonomy of the LGUs, na lahat iba-iba yung ginagawa, ganun, at then everybody insists na sila ang ano. Imagine gaano kagulo if unstable yung nasa itaas natin. Pero I have to admit, yung ang daming problema talaga down the chain. Yun nga kasi, ano eh, lahat gustong, ano, may kanya-kanyang gustong gagawin. Kaya daming alitan between the national government and sa local level. And yun lang talaga, it's like panindigan lang talaga ng national government kung anong gusto nilang ipapa-implement. And I think everybody will fall in line.
Who do you blame for the economic downturn? Do you blame the president or do you think hindi naman siya may kasalanan ito?
Nako, there is no singular person to be blamed about this. It's a worldwide phenomenon. Lahat naghihirap, pati yung mga superpowers, di ba? Kasi it's a big hit talaga. Kahit na mga neighboring ano natin, lahat na tinatamaan. Like, you know, you can look up Singapore, Hong Kong, how everybody's been affected. Na kahit na mga yung well-to-do and better-off economies, everybody is struggling. So, I don't want to point a blame on anybody. Kasi hindi talaga, kahit na locally, isisisi mo si mayor, pero hindi rin eh. Kasi this is very brand new and then we are still adjusting and finding our way through this crisis. And we can only hope for the best na ano.
Meron bang campaign promise that you remember the president made that you are still waiting for him to accomplish?
Yung, ano po, the war on drugs. Yun lang po ang ano ko. Pero, the way I see it then, there's an intangible impact. Kahit na sinasabi natin hindi tayo zero when it comes to all the drug lords na nawala na sila, meron pa rin. Oh, ang ano kasi, I think there is a generation that's been saved by the war on drugs. Mm. Iba dati, like, laganap yan, naka-rugby, naka-shabu, high school pa lang, nakatambay na. Pero ngayon, it's like there's a generation of high school students who's gonna graduate, and college students who's gonna graduate, na at the back of their minds, lagi silang takot because of the war on drugs. Na yung mga parents, parang ano na ba, like, you don't have to remind their kids, na parang ano na lang na, unconsciously, like, no, hindi ko talaga gagawin yan, kasi, you know, takot ako sa ano ni presidente. Pero I wish nga, ano, yes, the big fish are still sleeping through. And yun lang talaga, it's like, you know, maybe it's so idealistic to demand na kailangan drug-free and ano, neutralize lahat ang mga drug lords natin. Yun lang. But I don't know how it's gonna be accomplished 100% na. And I understand there was a promise before now within 6 months, and I think, you know, the administration is still working on that one, and I think siguro I'm not even that confident na in the next year completely drug free ang Pilipinas. Pero yun ang part of the Duterte legacy ng mga kabataan ngayon, and is ano, takot talaga.
What do you feel though na maraming namamatay sa war on drugs and marami sa kanilang poor, and yun nga yung accusations of nanlaban pero actually pinatay point blank ng police? What do you think of those accusations?
Yes, the execution part ng ano, it's the hammer portion sa ginagawa ni presidente ngayon. Kaya nakikita natin ang impact na kung it instills fear among the younger generation. Now, I'm not gonna call it a perfect how they executed the war on drugs, pero things got to be drastically done. Kasi yun lang ang mano ko niyan. They needed what they need to do. Kaya we are at this stage na ano, not completely won, but I think we are getting there.
But are you not bothered that some innocent people could be dying? Na minamurder sila ng government possibly. Kasi yun yung, for example, yun yung isang finding ng ICC prosecutor, di ba, na she recommended a formal investigation into the war on drugs because she saw convincing basis to say that pinapatay talaga sila, na may summary killings and they were being murdered by the government.
Well, that's one thing that this administration has to answer. Pero I think sa the eyes of the Filipino people, you know, I'm not even convinced that the proper venue for kung kailangan mo natin tugusin si presidente is the ICC. So I know you will disagree with me on that, and it's something that the Filipino people, ano, ang bayan ang mag-usga dyan. And so I don't think na ano, the nation will ano, harshly judge presidente when it comes to war on drugs. Kasi yun nga, sinasabi ko, the impact the younger generation, and siguro hindi pa natin ma-appreciate yan, pero there's a generation that has been saved because of, you know, this war on drugs. Imagine kung laganap lang, pinabayaan lang yan. Ang laki ng ano, especially sa probinsya ngayon, as in, dati makikita mo yan, harap-harapan na. Ngayon, nako, ang babait nung kung minsan matatawa ka, pero ano, yung pamilya ka ba doon yung ginagawa ng BEDAC, yung sa barangay, na magre-report yung mga surrenderies? So, ano yan, like, parang monthly yan eh. Na nag-ano, like, yung really mga hardcore na mga users and dealers before, and then, yun, takot na takot sila. It's like, ang babait nila na po. Doon. I mean, there is really a transformation and a reform happening down in the grassroots level. Ang napo-focus lang kasi is yung ano, mga namamatay na mga ganon. Pero yan, like, daan-daan kaya yan nagre-report sa barangay almost every month para chine-check lang ang progress nila na wala nang bumabalik, wala nang nagdi-dealer. Yun ang, I don't know if that's how it's conducted in the capital region. Pero dito sa probinsya, ganyan. Yung ano, kahit si barangay, punong barangay, At saka si Hepe, yun ang ano talaga, personally, one of those things na tangible talaga in the grassroots level. The way paano kinakandak yung barangay ang anti-drug council na mag-meet yung lahat ng mga surrenderies.
Mm.
So we see, you know, a killing here, a killing there, but we don't see the thousands of those transform and reform and being helped by that program na, well, ma'am, at least in Negros, maano mo talaga yan. There's no one openly promoting na ako dealer, ako user, ako. Kung meron man, we have to admit, meron mga patago pa rin dyan. Pero no, lahat. That's the kind of transformation that's happening on the ground. And I wish it's, you know, more yung issue ng yung barangay anti-drug campaign.
Okay.
And how is it being executed? And it's not just, you know, those na, like, you know, may magpinatay. Dahil yun na, hindi na nagre-report sa BIDA. Yun na pala, nag-big time dealer na naman. Ganun, oh. So, yun. It's not a, it's a war. You know, I'm having a military background. War is nasty. And it's not a whole, you know, perfect. I'm not justifying, ano, sa kung anong resulta. Pero I wish makikita din natin yan.
Mm.
As I've said, it's not a perfect war.
Okay.
The war on drugs.
Doon naman tayo sa China position ni Duterte kasi that's another controversy he's constantly having to deal with, diba? Yung kanyang soft approach to China, people are accusing him of parang relinquishing certain rights in the West Philippine Sea. Ano namang take mo doon? Like, yung kanyang foreign policy, do you think he did a good job?
This one, unfortunately, I have to disagree with the president. So, I am on the right on him on this. I am more conservative when it comes to national sovereignty. And you have to understand that given my military background.
Mm.
So, I wish now we are more, you know, forceful on our response sa mga intrusions.
Mm.
And I am for bringing in the international community, especially the U.S. 7th Fleet, more proactive in patrolling South China Sea.
Mm.
So I'm not really on the specific on the position of the president about those naval patrols being done if he's completely against it. But I think, you know, he's been open about it by extending a visiting forces agreement natin.
Mm-hmm.
I know there was a problem before.
Mm.
But I wish, you know, it's one of those na, just like the war on drugs, now I'm hoping that, you know, he will be more towards protecting our sovereignty instead of giving accommodations to the Chinese.
Mm.
But I don't think being him, na it is unfair to put him on a position na, oh, ano, maging China province na tayo, na he is a puppet of China. I don't think na ganyan si Presidente. And I don't think that's a fair assessment.
So what do you think
is
going on?
Just looking on, you know, the long term, na he wants to build a relationship with China.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's a complete surrender na kailangan natin ipamigay na. Eh, hindi mangyayari yan. I don't see it in him na ibibigyan niya some of the islands to China without objection.
Okay. Ano namang tingin mo dun sa kanyang pananalita? Kasi another controversy is the way he speaks. Lots of people say he's not very presidential. He's misogynistic in many speeches. Tsaka the way he talks about foreign leaders, for example, diba? Parang he will curse at them. Like, he cursed the Pope and President Barack Obama, diba? So, ano naman tingin mo dun? Do you agree with that? Or you think it's part of his personality?
It is part of his personality. And then, you know, being a Bisaya just like him, I know iba ang pagkaka. Minsan kasi a lot gets lost in translation sa, ano, para sa amin, okay. Like, you know, some other, you know, words and expressions and sa Tagalog din, na everybody wants a refined leaders. But para sa akin, I'd rather have the way Duterte na magsasalita siya pero may ginagawa.
Mm.
No? Kasi yung parang ano, refine ka, masyado kang ano, yun nga, yung tinatawag lang statesman dapat.
Mm.
And then you're so far, ano naman, detached naman sa reality on the ground.
Mm.
So, kaya that's really part of the Duterte appeal eh, sa masa. Marami ang nakaka-relate na he's one of us. Yung salitang kanto, yung tinatawag namin bugoy, o ano ba yun sa Tagalog. Pero, yung kahit na bugoy, pero may kakampi ka. sa labanan. I think, I don't know if I'm expressing that correctly, pero ganyan ang appeal niya sa, at least dito sa probinsya. Pag may kakampi ka lagi, na ganun, kahit na, just like in high school, di ba? Parang ano ka talaga, may protector ka, yun. Yung kamao ni Duterte, yung parang siya yung, 911 namin, kumbaga yung emergency. May masasandalan ka talaga at may matawag kayo when it comes sa emergency. Mm-hmm. Yan ang appeal niya. Kaya ang sa akin is like I don't pay much attention. Minsan pag nakikinig ka sa on some of the press conferences, siguro sabihin mo, dapat hindi sinabi ng ganun. Pero we get what he's trying to paparating.
Do you think he's corrupt? Kasi maraming accusations of hidden wealth, for example, and then hindi niya pinapakita yung kanyang salin till now.
Hindi ko na yung issue na yan. I'm not really familiar on the specifics.
Yung niya.
Like, siguro is just iba kasi yung focus namin dito sa probinsya, yung sa insurgency, and then sa problema dito. But, I will try to look into that one, to be fair with you. Pero yan kasi, like, every administration has to go through that, accusations of corruption. And may sabi ko lang, bring it up and then have it part of the discussion, but be specific. Kasi you try to accuse someone of that, and then wala naman, hinihingihan ka ng, okay,
Ganyan nga, yung dun sa salin, kasi for 2 years, hindi niya pinapakita yung salin niya. Salin kasi is the statements of assets, liabilities, and net worth. Every president publicizes that to show the public how much they earned from their position. So, cabinet members, si Vice President Robredo, lahat yan nag-publish ng salin. Yes. Pero till now, si Duterte hasn't published two salin.
Yes, but proof of corruption. Kasi kung corrupt ka, bakit mo iblalagay pa dyan sa salin mo, di ba?
So hindi, pero hindi naman niya pinapakita yung salin, siguro, so parang gano'n na lang din yun. Diba? Parang may tinatago siya.
Kung corrupt siya, it will still be a very clean salin. Nangyayari nga sa dami-daming presidente natin dumaan, diba? Sabi nga, hindi corrupt yan, pero on the side, lalabas na lang, nakukulong na lang. Dahil sa ang lilinis ng mga salins. Tapos at the end, yun, nakukulong na dahil multi-billion na yung mga So, if you think about it, President Duterte is on his last year, and then there's no case pending on him on corruption. Yung iba, on their term, nakailang may impeachment na nga. So, I don't, yun nga, sinasabi ko, bring it up, and then let the people decide kung meron man, hindi lang. Kasi yung hindi natin nilabas yung salin, hakahakat ng ganon. I mean, give us something para, it will become the next discussion, especially the election is coming up. So, because I don't know what the plano ni Presidente, kung mag-fly siya or ano ba. At least, natin, that's become part of the conversation. Pero bring something tangible na kung may accusation man ng ganyan. Position ko doon.
Going to the elections next year, would you support Duterte if he ran for vice president?
I have to, ang primary kasi ang main consideration ko dyan. Kung sino yung tatakbo. And then how everything is set up. But for continuity, yun gusto kong mangyari yun.
Who would make a good president kung siya yung vice presidential candidate mo? Sino yung gusto mo maging presidente?
Well, I mentioned continuity. So, I'm going for Mayor Sara.
Okay.
So, so maybe you'll say, talaga to, bias to na Duterte. Pero, yun ang Kasi, it's rare in an administration in a, 6-year span with the stability that we're getting right now. Dati, di ba, in an administration, kudita dito, kudita doon. Isa din yan sa Duterte legacy. I hope ma-realize yan ng mga tao. Bakit nga ba? Parang iba yata ngayon . So tuloy-tuloy, makafocus tayo na imagine if we're going through this pandemic tapos magkukulita ng isa, dalawang beses, isang taon. Ewan ko lang. So that is part of the Duterte mistake Ang the stability na he's providing to this country.
Well, nung si Pinoy naman, wala namang kudeta.
Yeah, pero yun nga, ay ibang leadership ng ano din, ang I don't want to be comparing both na pero yun ang ano Duterte, how he leads and everyone follows na to get things done. Yun lang ang ano ang pagkakaiba na ano big difference ano sa leadership ni presidente ngayon.
What do you think of Bongo? Kasi gusto rin niya tumakbo, di ba? So people say.
Si Bong, malaking tulong niya sa presidente. And then the other legacy na iiwanan nila. And I hope he will succeed in really, ano, ma-institutionalize natin yung mga malasakit centers. Na, kasi yan eh, ewan ko sa, ano, sa capital, dito sa probinsya, yung mga tao pa rin yung they pay cash for their healthcare and then pag wala ka, yun, hihingi ka ni mayor, ganon. Hihingi ka ng tulong ni governor or sino-sinong ganyan. But with the establishment of Malasakit Center na everything's unified in one place na lang yung ano, servisyo, ang daming natutulungan yan.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yun nga, si Bongo, eh, isa pa yan, nagre-responde yan kahit na kunting sunog, maliit na sunog sa, ano, sa probinsya. You don't see that in any other administration. Direct na darating yung pag may nasunugan sa probinsya, yan, darating ang ano presidential response team.
Mm.
Yun, those are the things na ano talaga, na hindi ko nakikita yan in the past administrations. Yung hands-on approach nila. Kaya I hope that will answer part of your questions before now. Bakit ba talaga ganun pa? Popular pa rin si presidente despite all na mga pagkukulang or mga pagkakamali. It's because they are there when you need them. It's like they feel the government working for them. So yan ang ano ang pagtingin namin. So we might be in a different view sa mga pangyayari, pero I'm giving you what we are seeing and ano ang nararamdaman namin when it comes sa ang impact sa leadership at pamumuno ni ano ni presidente dito sa probinsya.
Would you vote Bongo also if he were to run for president? Paano kung si Sara and Bongo would run? Who would you prefer?
I'll go for Sara.
How come? Why over Bongo si Sara?
Si Sara kasi she commands, she has the personality just like her dad.
Mm.
And mas ano siya. Kung continuity nga ang sinasabi ko, I think Sara will do a good job na ituloy yung programa ng presidente and with the same ano, leadership. Yung can move things right away ba? That doesn't rely on the bureaucracy na gano'n. I'm not saying that Bongo is ano, pero yun nga. Kasi tinintingnan ko sa presidente yung ability to lead. Yeah. A negative hit on Bongo and he's doing what he can pero you know I think a much ano better unifier pag si Sara and think and you will see that even the local executives are pushing really Sara to ano run for president.
Lastly, yung mga ibang candidates naman or yung ibang mga potential candidates, what do you think of them? Like Isko Moreno, Ping Lacson, si Tito Soto, Manny Pacquiao. I mean, do any of these candidates also you think are worth supporting? If, let's say, hindi mo nagustuhan si Sara pala or something, or Bongo. I mean, do you think...
My next choice will be Ping.
Ah, okay. Why?
Yeah, siguro, naka-ano mo na yung director ng choices ko. It's because of always, you know, I want, you know, this strong man appeal, this strong leadership appeal.
Mm.
So, my next choice is Ping, to be honest with you.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes. And I know they, hindi sila usually they don't agree and see eye to eye sa presidente. Pero yun lang kasi ano eh. Siguro yung limited lang talaga ang perspective namin dito sa probinsya. We just want someone who can take care of us. At least try to end the insurgency at yun. I know mas bigger pa ang mga issues niyo dyan sa NCR. Pero dito sa amin, we're still back to basic talaga. Mm. It's survival pa kami dito.
Mm-mm.
And I hope you will understand at bakit ganyan ang perspective namin. Mm-mm. I wish.
Yes,
you know,
I understand.
Ganun.
Very interesting insights. I'm very happy that you were able to show me yung perspective na yun. It's very valuable to me as a reporter. So thank you very much for that.
That was my conversation with Negros Oriental businessman Kenneth Lucio. Thanks for listening to Seed of Power.